invite you to come out and to take advantage of one of our Bible studies. Well, if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with us to Romans chapter 8, verses 5 and 6. If you're following on the Bible app, that link is down here at the bottom of our bulletin. You can plug that right in and it'll pop up. I want to talk to you this morning just briefly about your strongest thoughts, or my strongest, not my, but you as in our strongest thoughts. So as I was thinking about this sermon and how the Lord was moving me, I always do a lot more research than I should, but I enjoy doing the research. One of the quotes that I came across is, "The soul becomes dyed with the color of its thoughts." The soul becomes dyed with the color of its thoughts. So I want to ask you a question. With that quote out there, "The soul becomes dyed with the color of its thoughts," what color have your thoughts been this week? What color have they been? And then I get to thinking, because I'm a very visual person. I like thinking in terms of images. If you put an image up in front of me, I will be a lot more likely to grasp what you're trying to teach me or what you're trying to talk to me about. So as I'm thinking of how our soul becomes dyed with the color of its thoughts, what were the colors of my thoughts this past week? I then began to have this thought that's going through my mind. What if the color of my thoughts were like a beautiful sunrise? What if they were like a beautiful sunrise? So what I want you to do is I want you to look at this sunrise, or it could be a sunset. I want you to take a look at this image, and I want you in section somewhere on your notes, I want you to write down the colors that you are focusing upon in that picture. What are the colors that you focus upon? Because I'm thinking in terms of, I want my colors to be like a beautiful sunrise. Well, what colors do you focus upon? Write down the colors that you see. Just write them down. Write them down. Jot them down really quick. What colors are you focusing upon in that image? Then I want you, beside those colors that you have written down, what thoughts do the colors represent? What thoughts do the colors represent? What thoughts do the colors represent that you've had this week? In fact, maybe this morning. I need you to be very, very specific. Be specific on this. I know you don't like engaging in sermons like this, but I want you to, because it's a fun way of teaching. And I hope it's a fun way of learning. Using pictures is something we used when I was at Jack State going through my master's program of education there in the English department. Using images was a huge way that we teach language arts. So, what colors are you focusing upon in the image? What thoughts do the colors represent? I need you to be very specific. Okay? Do you have at least two, maybe three written down? Okay? All right. So Mike is thinking from "the soul becomes dyed with the color of its thoughts," that I want my thoughts to be the color of a sunrise. A specific sunrise. When my parents, me, Vic, and her family, mom and dad, around 2005, maybe in 2002, 2003, somewhere in there. But at any rate, we took a trip out to Yellowstone National Park. We drove. It was one of the best family outings that we have had, vacations. But there was one morning specific, we were staying on the banks of the Yellowstone Lake, Lake Yellowstone. I got up out of our little cottage. It really wasn't even a cottage. Essentially a camp house. I got up early one morning. I walked out to the edge of the Yellowstone Lake where there was nobody else. I was kind of afraid because I knew that I was in grizzly territory. And it wasn't actually
where we were, it was not fenced in to keep any grizzly bear out, as if you could keep a grizzly bear out that wanted to charge someone. But at any rate, I was sitting down on the shore of Lake Yellowstone, and I watched as the sun came up, those beautiful images that I saw. That is what I'm thinking, Mike, this is what the thoughts that go through my mind, I want them to be that color. That's what my mind goes back to.
So then, here's my next quote. As I'm thinking all of these thoughts, this is the next thing that comes across my mind. I want my thoughts to look like a beautiful sunrise, but as I look at a beautiful sunrise, I notice that even the most beautiful sunrise has its many shades of gray. What do you think about that quote?
I want my thoughts, Pastor Mike, to be like a beautiful sunrise, but even the most beautiful sunrise has its many shades of gray. What is your strongest thoughts?
What thoughts continually go through your mind? In Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 6, Scripture there tells me, Paul writing, he says, "For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace." Here within this passage of Scripture, we have life that is set on the flesh and life that is set on the Spirit. The life set on the flesh, as Paul writes, is what? What does he say life set on the flesh is? It is death. And what does he say about life focusing upon or set upon the Spirit? What does that life become? If we have our
thoughts set upon the Spirit, what does it become? Or our mind set upon the Spirit?
It becomes what?
Life and peace. But each day that we rise, my thoughts that come into my mind are just like a sunrise. They have the beautiful burnt oranges to reds. Some of them have blues peeking through. But there are also those dark grays that even go to black. Every day I wake up, these are the thoughts that clog my mind. It is a perfect image of what thoughts go through our mind on a daily basis, on a moment-by-moment basis. The thoughts that do go through our mind are like that beautiful sunrise. They can be great or they can be as disparaging and as destructive as the darkness that is evident upon the picture of that sunrise. They are all there.
We can all have these thoughts. A mind set on the flesh is death, and a mind set upon the Spirit is life and peace.
My question is, every morning that you get up, and it's just not a morning thing, but it's a moment by moment thing, as you're getting ready, as you're leaving and walking out the door, as you get in your car, as you make your way up your driveway, as you get onto the road, as you're making your way into town to Tallapoosa or out to the interstate, what thoughts are going through your mind? What thoughts go through your mind?
What do you set your thoughts upon? You know, I was in the middle of researching, I came across this quote. You become what you think. You are what you eat.
It's kind of the same basic thing. You become what you think. Become what you think. If you want to be a bright, joyful person, we're going to think in terms of that bright sunrise, that burnt orange, the red or the blues. And we're going to choose to have positive thoughts come into our life.
You become what you think. Guess what? If you think discouraging thoughts, guess what
type of person you are going to be? Has anybody ever been around a continuously discouraging person? Doom and gloom. You ever been around those? And not the type of people who are concerned and who are like, you need to be really careful. There's a difference. But those are like, well, this is never going to work out for me. It's going to, you know what I'm talking about. You've been around those people. How many of you want to stay around people like that? Are you one of those people? Are you one of those people? I would certainly hope not. But we
become what we think. If we think discouraging thoughts, we will become a discouraging person. If we think positively thoughts, we will become a positive person. So let me ask you this. What negative thoughts are those shades of gray? They're in your sermon notes. What negative thoughts are those shades of gray tend to dominate your thinking? We all have them. We all tend to have these dark, negative thoughts that have a way of working their way into our life and into our mind to dominate our lives. What are they? You know what they are. We call them strongholds. What are those strongholds in your life? Write them down. What are those strongholds in your life? And then I am reminded in Romans chapter 12, verse number 2, Scripture there tells me, Paul continuing to write, what does he tell us about what goes on in our mind?
He writes, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? How are we to be transformed? By the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect.
In her book, Think Great, Be Great, Laleah Akita said this, it is at the mercy of grace. It is at the mercy of grace where my mind becomes renewed, where my soul becomes restored, and where my spirit becomes rekindled. How do we
have a renewing of our mind? It is at the mercy seat of grace. It is understanding what grace does for us and how good God really is. Shelley and I'll be talking a little bit more about Right Now Media.
But we sat down this week and I was showing Right Now Media to her. And one of the things that we were watching was worship. And one of the things that was asked on one of those episodes was, what is worship? Well, they didn't just ask me and her, but they asked many other people, kind of like street interviews.
Has anybody ever been in a street interview? Anybody ever been in a church street interview? Because, you know, you ask church people, what is worship? You would think we would get it right, wouldn't you? And then you know, oh my goodness, what if I say the wrong thing? Have you ever felt like that? That's why many of you don't come to Sunday school, okay? But what I want you to do is to rise up and above that, because God's grace is sufficient for our weaknesses. That's what I believe. So as Shelley and I were watching this, they were doing on-the-street interviews for worship. We heard, do you remember anything that we heard, Shelley? No, I'm putting you on the spot. Singing is one thing. Preaching is worshiping. And they might have even said spiritual songs. Some of them might have even said hymn songs. But it was focused upon the things that we do in worship. Worship comes from a word that means worthy or worth. To what do we place immense worth in this world? As Shelley and I was talking about this, I looked at her and I said, well, what do you worship? And she said, well, what do you worship? Just a perfect redirection. You guys get that redirection in your life? I do. And I looked at her and I said, well, to be honest with you, if you look at where I placed all my time and energy for the majority of the summer, it has been in this house. Where do I place my worth? I place my worth in my relationship with her. I place my worth in relationship of my house. I place my worth in the relationship of this building. But those are, as we talked this morning, as the staff got together and as we prayed, those things are merely conductors that point to the one in whom we truly worship. So it's not just the songs that are in this hymnal. It's not just the songs in this hymnal that enable us to worship. Because if we look at this and we say, oh, it's all about this book. It's not about this book. What do the words in this book point to? To whom do they point? And that is to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Holy Trinity. That's to whom this book, these hymns point. Well, let's look at some of the newer modern songs. To whom do those words point? Do they not point to the same person? Then worship is not just simply in the things that we use that enable us to worship. Is, are they? That's not what worship is. Worship is not coming in here on Sunday morning and sitting down and singing. When I was at Westview and Brother Charles Munro was there, 79 verses of Just As I Am. Has anybody ever been in one of those worship services before? It's not something we do on a Sunday morning. Worship is something that we do every day. Our life is an act of worship. So, as Shelley and I was watching this, how does my house, I can either worship my house or I can allow my house to point to the God to whom these blessings from which they flow from. I can look at my relationship with my wife. I can worship her and she's like, yeah, you better. Not really, but you know what I'm saying? I can value my relationship with my wife, but if I look at it in the way that it should be looked at, I look unto the Lord because He is the one that has blessed me with this relationship. So then I do not become worshiping her. I do not worship these things, but I worship the one from whom they come. So, as we're looking at this in the renewing of the mind, and as we're looking at and thinking of at the mercy of grace, my mind is renewed, my soul restored, or my spirit rekindled. The question is, where do we go to have our minds renewed? Is it to a hymn book? Is it to the latest radio station that sings the most recent songs? Or is it to the Bible? Or could it be to all three? Understanding that all of those help us to find our way to the foot of the cross, to the mercy seat where we can get renewed. So, y'all understand what I'm saying? Do you? All right. So with that thought in mind, where do we go to the renewing of your mind? One is to the cross, of course. At the mercy of grace. How do you renew your mind? By thinking positive thoughts. How many, you've heard these people, these life coaches say, just think positive thoughts. Just think positive thoughts. Just think positive thoughts. You know, John Casey was in a little bit of a mishap. Was it last week or earlier? So sometime this past week, I hope you don't mind me using you as an example, John Casey. But, and this was, and the thing I love about John Casey is he's John Casey. He's transparent. There's no faking in this person because he pinched or mashed this last digit of his finger off. Between, what was it? A trailer hitch. Doesn't that sound like you just want to praise the Lord when that happens? And that's what I asked him. I said, hey, John Casey, I bet you was praising the Lord when that happened. He said, well, not exactly. If any of you have ever mashed your fingers, had them slammed into a car door, you understand. You understand what he's going through, and you understand that sentiment. But I appreciate that so much about John Casey because he doesn't lie to me. He just tells me like it is. And that's the authenticity and the beauty. But simply thinking positive thoughts, when he slammed or had his finger mashed off, essentially, he could have all kind of positive thoughts. My finger's still there. My finger's still there. My finger's still there. Guess what thoughts were coming in and overrunning that? Pain. I'm allergic to pain. Anybody else in here allergic to pain? I'm allergic to pain and what else did we talk about, John Casey? Pain medication. I'm allergic to pain and pain medication. I don't want any of it. But simply by thinking positive thoughts,
It may help you to a degree. What has to happen is that the Spirit has to get involved and transform and renew our mind. Reprogramming. Do you know the best computer programmer I've ever met? His name is Jesus. He can reprogram this microchip up here so that I don't have to just think positive thoughts, but they are continually flowing from His throne into my life, into your lives because you're around me. He can reprogram us. I believe that. He is the best computer programmer that I know. By an inner working of the Holy Spirit is the only way that we have our minds renewed. So it is in the view of mercy and grace that our thoughts can change. It is in view of the promises of God that our thoughts can change. One of the other things that I do when, just on a daily basis, I'm walking through life, it's not only His Word that helps me to renew my mind, but it is also through music. Music is powerful. I mean, it really is. One person once said this, the human spirit needs music. Music nourishes the soul to survive life's trauma. Now, some people may think, yeah, I like rock and roll. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, I think the Lord can even speak to us through some of those lyrics, not all of them. I think the Lord can even speak to us through some of the musical instruments that they have playing in some of those songs. But what I want you to focus on in some of my darkest moments, I began to sing. I began to sing, as what Ann says, some of those old hymns out of the church hymnal. It is the burgundy or the redback hymnal. It is a Church of God hymnal. If you go down here to Westview has Church of God hymnal. Muscadine Baptist Church is going to have that burgundy or that red hymnal. Where, what page is Amazing Grace on? Page 57 in that church hymnal that I grew up on. I began to think of the songs that I remember my granddaddy singing when he was leading music. I remember those songs. Songs like Blessed Assurance, where it says, this is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. When you're in the midst of life circumstances and those dark shades of gray start creeping into our minds and into our thoughts, those are some of the songs that I begin to sing out, and how they are powerful and how they get me into thinking about the Lord and how this story is going to interact with Him and how it is going to be refreshing and renewing even into my mind. But it's not only those hymns. It's some of the more recent songs that as you turn on the radio, the Christian station, you begin to hear songs like I Raise a Hallelujah. Anybody heard that song? Has anybody heard the background of that song? There was this little boy who had been diagnosed with an illness that they did not think he was going to live. His name was Jackson. He was, I don't know, the picture of the little guy, he had to be no older than between birth and 4 years old. And the worship leader who wrote this song, in the midst of hearing about that little boy who's a member of their congregation, he said, I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. You heard that song? It's also those types of songs that I begin to grab a hold of and allow the Spirit to renew my mind and to take me away from those dark thoughts and those evil thoughts and those discouraging thoughts, because that's what Satan wants to do. He wants to discourage me. He wants to make me a discouraging person. As we look in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 5, Scripture tells us, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses."
Look at the words there. "For we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses." Those strongholds in our life that are fortresses that drive us to despair, that drive us to discouragement, that Satan always takes us to. We have divine, powerful weapons of war that can destroy even those fortresses. Now look at what he goes on to say. "Destroying speculations, we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are" what? Look at this. "And we are taking captive," we are taking every thought captive "to the obedience of Christ." You know, one of the things that we fail to do, that Mike fails to do on a continual basis, is to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. It is when I fail to take every thought captive to Christ's obedience, that is when Mike goes off, he goes downrange, he goes off the reservation, and he begins to wander in the wilderness. But even when I do that, I recognize as I read this through Scripture that I am not alone in how I act and the thoughts that cloud my mind. We come behind a massive scarlet thread of people who have walked in and out of the presence of the Lord, who have had disparaging thoughts, discouraging thoughts, one moment and then wonderful thoughts the next. Last week we talked about Elijah. He had one of those moments. We have the power to destroy these dark thoughts, these discouraging thoughts, to destroy them utterly by taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. I wonder this week,
as you begin to look at the thoughts that come into your mind as a picture of a sunrise or a sunset, and all of these beautiful pictures and all the beautiful colors, including those shades of gray. That's who I am. And it's only at the mercy seat of Christ that I receive His grace and can have my mind renewed. You know, I want to share a personal story here. As we come and get a verse of song ready, an invitation. We're going to be singing "Just As I Am." It is a newer version. The words will be up here on the screen. I encourage you to allow these words to penetrate and to sing it prayerfully. But, you know, over the past couple of weeks, Shelly's been battling, guys. She has. And I never knew what fear was until I went to one of her doctor's appointments with her to have an MRI. And to see her and her mother in there, nervous and fearful about what that oncologist is going to come back and say. And I can see in the middle of that moment, I can see all the discouraging thoughts beginning to come in and to crowd her mind. Her mother's mind, and then even mine. Many of you have been there. You understand what it's like to be on that end of a doctor's appointment where you have no idea. You already know that you've been diagnosed with this, but you have no idea whether it's going to be a good report or a negative report. And Satan comes in there and he begins to steal the joy that's in your life. He begins to plant seeds that are meant to destroy
your joy and to destroy anything that the Lord has breathed into your heart and into your life or into the heart of your family's life. I have seen what that's done to my bride. See what it has done to me. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to stand here and be as authentic as I can, and I want to tell you that it is difficult. It is difficult to hold on to hope in the midst of those times. But I will not stand by, John Casey, and allow the discouraging thoughts to come into my mind and to steal the joy that the Lord has for me in any situation in this life. I'm going to love the days that I have with my bride, the good days that we have, and we're going to praise His holy name. We're going to lift Him up. Even in the bad days, we're going to look for the little God winks in our life. And we are going to hold on to those moments in our life. Because I have this hope. I have this hope through the shed blood of Jesus Christ that no matter what may come in this life, that He has the last say. There's a song that Sanctus Real has written and they sing. And it is confident. That's the name of the song. They talk about facing giants. Zach Williams wrote a song, Fear is a Liar, and how Satan comes and how he tries to destroy us with all type of fear and all types of giants. What I want to encourage you from this day forward to do is to hold on to the hope that is in Christ Jesus. Hold on to the hope that comes through the words of some of these old hymns. To hold on to the hope that comes through the words of some of these new contemporary songs, and to hold on to the hope of what the gospel tells us, that in the end, Jesus will have victory over death, hell, and the grave. And that means we will too. In the end, we are victorious. I want you to be positive people, positive, full of hope, sharing the glory and majesty of the Lord. And the hope that only He could give in the midst of dark and discouraging days.